Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm Elliot Forrest. And today, for John Schaefer, controversial real estate projects inspire a lot of things. Big ideas, big drawings, and quite frequently in New York, big controversy. But they don't often inspire stage musicals. For 7 years, a plan to bring skyscrapers, housing, and a basketball arena to Brooklyn has divided public opinion. That controversy is the subject of a new production called In the Footprint, The Battle Over Atlantic Yards. We'll talk about Atlantic Yards with the creators of the musical in a moment, but first, here's a song from In the Footprint. Please welcome Matthew Della Pina, and this is called The Four Brooklyns.
Brooklyn is a city of neighborhoods. Brooklyn is a city of neighborhoods. But socioeconomically, there are four Brooklyns. First of all, there's Manhattan, and Manhattan runs from Greenpoint down to Red Hook. Higher in density, it tends to be more affluent, and property values and development trends are treated as an overflow from Manhattan. Then you've got the Caribbean parts of Crown Heights, Prospect Heights, Flatbush, even Canarsie, where they've had a huge influx of immigrants from the Caribbean who dominate the political landscape now and are largely working class. I know there's a difference. Jamaicans aren't the same as Trinidadians, and Trinidadians are not the same as Haitians, but from a distance, it's the Caribbean. Then you've got the Mediterranean, and I say Mediterranean because that includes Spanish-speaking people, right? Pieces of Bushwick, Williamsburg, Sunset Park, Bay Ridge, and Bensonhurst, all of the ethnic groups that surround the Mediterranean, and also, the Arab populations. And then the last piece of Brooklyn is Florida. And Florida is, South Brooklyn. It's parts of Midwood, Sheepshead Bay, Marine Park, and Coney Island, and Florida is predominantly white Jews, who've been in Brooklyn for several generations and are elderly like many folks in Florida, and Russians who came to the U.S. and adopted a Florida lifestyle, and those are the four Brooklyns.
Matthew Della Pina singing The Four Brooklyns from the musical In the Footprint, The Battle Over Atlantic Yards. Here to talk to me about this musical is Michael Friedman, the pianist and the composer who wrote the music and the lyrics, and Stephen Cosson, writer and director. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
What an unusual subject for a musical. If I understand it right, the actual development itself started around 2003. How much later did you start the musical itself?
Well, yeah, the Atlantic Yards story launched in 2003. We came along in about 2008, so a lot had happened before we started our research. But in 2008, we put a company together and spent about 5 weeks conducting interviews with as many people as would talk to us.
And did you think from the beginning that this could make a musical? Were there specific challenges of turning controversy over a real estate project into a musical?
Well, I'll let Michael talk about this a little bit. It's not a traditional musical. It's not The Music Man.
No, it's not.
It is. It's a play. It's a play with music, and the music functions in many different ways. Part of it is a little like a Brechtian, Kurt Weill musical, where the songs are really kind of outside of the narrative and give you a bigger perspective or a different perspective on what's happening.
I think also that we found one way that the music was really helpful is there's some information that's very important for the audience to learn about the ways in which political processes work and the ways in which things like eminent domain happen. And they're kind of dull if you say them out loud. And what was fun was suddenly you put them into song and people bizarrely pay attention to what they normally would, make them snooze. They suddenly are going out humming songs about various agencies within the New York City government.
Right. I don't think I would have known what ULERP was.
Yes, people have really enjoyed the ULERP song.
Do you want to explain that?
ULERP is the Universal Land Use Review Procedure, which is the policy, it's basically the procedure under which any major projects in New York are supposed to go through this process.
Right. And do people go out humming ULERP?
They seem to go out humming ULERP. So who knew?
I have it stuck in my head still.
I think the actors will never forgive me for the ULERP song, but...
The audience for this, who do you want? Who has it been?
Well, we certainly have had a lot of people from Brooklyn, but people have traveled in from the outer boroughs, such as Manhattan. We've had a lot of people who are, you know, deeply involved in the Atlantic Yards story. Certainly a lot of members of people of the opposition, and lots of people who knew nothing about it.
Yeah, and we've been very lucky that the sort of press response and the critical community have been incredibly supportive of the piece, and therefore I think have been able to help us bring it to a wider audience than we, a small theater company, would be able to do. So that's been very exciting and really, really thrilling for us.
Elliot Forrest here for John Schaefer. You're listening to Soundcheck. We're talking to the creators of In the Footprint, the battle over Atlantic Yards, running through December 11th at the Irondale Center. Is it fair to say that the musical is decidedly anti-arena?
I think ultimately it has a point of view that does not support Atlantic Yards and the process by which Atlantic Yards was developed. At the same time, it gives voice to all of the different perspectives in the story. So it's not necessarily a one message show. You really get into the complexity of both the supporters, the opposition, those who wanted to build it, and those who do not want it built.
And even within those groups, you realize how much complexity there is, that there are people, that it's not just people who are for and people who are against. Within those sides, there's infighting and complications. And I think the most fun part of watching an audience is watching the audience think it knows whose side it's on.
Right.
And then suddenly somebody will say something where you see the audience go, oh, I hadn't really taken that into account. Suddenly I'm having to rethink what the story really is.
You definitely, as an audience member, go back and forth between who you're rooting for and what you understand. But it's incredibly informative, which is not what you can always say about a musical, but completely entertaining at the same time. I think the balance has been struck. We're going to hear two songs together, Kickin' It and We Worry. What should we know about these songs?
Both of them come directly from, like, actually all the songs in this except for the final song come directly from interviews, so the words are words that I took and edited from interviews with real people. So you'll be hearing both these songs are from interviews we did with actual people involved or around the neighborhood.
You have to make your way over to the piano.
I will do so.
Let me just ask Steve, what was the research? It sounds like there was a lot of it that you did on this musical.
Well, I can tell you this much. I can't carry all of the transcripts home with me at the same time. I tried, and I had to bring a few back to the office. So there were. It's a pretty extensive amount of work that goes into making something like this.
We're going to hear Billy Eugene Jones starting off with Kicking It. This is from In the Footprint, the battle over Atlantic Yards on Soundcheck.
Remember how you used to see, like, random people sitting on the stoop and that old lady who sees everything and tells. You don't see the old guy sitting, playing checkers, you know, whatever. Those old people were the eyes and ears of the neighborhood. That used to be so Brooklyn. That used to be so Brooklyn. And there were always white people over, which is cool, that lived here, and the Pratt students is just, well, you know, a lot of the places where, you know, we used to congregate were not allowed to, you know, I mean, some people get nervous when they see a group of young guys congregating. I got a whole big post on my blog about it. And these are the places where we congregated for years, you know, I mean, well, not on a day like today. But let's say it was 50 degrees and I came outside, I would just go to the park because I knew that's where the guys were chilling, you know, or just sitting on the stoop and just kicking it, you know. that used to be so Brooklyn.
It's such a beautiful arena. Have you seen the arena? It's a really beautiful arena. And people talk about the stuff that's gonna be torn down. But you know, a friend of mine was walking by the other day and he said, something used to be there. And I said, yeah, a parking lot. He didn't remember. He didn't remember. And you know, he'd been walking by there every single day for years, and that's exactly what it's gonna be like for some of these folks. When they start tearing stuff down, they won't remember what was there. They won't remember. They won't remember. And yes, there will be shadows. We worry about shadows. We worry about air rights, and we worry that some building will go up and block our view. We worry about that. We worry about change. Well, you just get over it. You just get over it, 'cause you are only entitled to the space that you have. You are not entitled to the space that's all around you. It's such a beautiful arena. And I'm excited, and my property values will go up. I know that's a horrible, selfish thing to say, but it's such a beautiful arena.
Colleen Worthman and Billy Eugene Jones singing from the musical In the Footprint, The Battle Over Atlantic Yard. Steve Kossin, the writer and director, is with me. Michael Friedman, the pianist, who also composed the music and the lyrics. You know, it's not just about real estate. It is about challenges, about people standing up for themselves, a lot of other things. Tell me about the other ideas that are portrayed in the musical.
Well, yeah, I mean, really, ultimately, it's not a story about an arena and whether you like basketball or don't like basketball. It really is a story about democracy and how things work in this city and the state at this time. And I think the, you know, the strongest opposition to the whole project was the fact that it was never voted on. There was no real democratic process. The biggest development in Brooklyn's history and what would ultimately be one of the densest areas of housing and offices in the country was going to be built. A whole neighborhood was going to be wiped out by eminent domain. And the way it was done, you know, the city council was completely shut out. The neighborhood was completely shut out. And it never was voted on. And I think that's part of the story that doesn't necessarily get out or sink into people as much as I feel like it should. And it's something that doesn't maybe quite fit in like a short real estate news article, but in a 90-minute play, when you actually get to hear from all the real people involved in it and sort of get the whole flesh and blood story and really meet the people who lived in this neighborhood that has now been torn down, I think it takes on a whole different character.
It's not lost on the audience either as you sit there on South Oxford knowing you're, what, blocks away from where this real estate project is happening?
Just a few blocks down the street is the actual site of the footprint and the arena. So, and, you know, since we started writing this show, what's been amazing is buildings that were there, fights that were still being fought when we first started working on it. People have lost a lot of different lawsuits, and therefore buildings have been torn down. The actual footprint and the community that was in it once is now absolutely gone, whereas when we started, there was still a sense of struggle going on within that community. So it's really interesting.
You get a huge sense of the history of this real estate project. Where is it today? Has digging started?
Digging started and building started. They recently announced that we should be seeing the arena rising up from the ground. And everything's been torn down. So I think one of the sad things for me about the current state of it is what the hole has been made. And we're going to have an arena in 10 years. There might be one building and then great big parking lots for God knows how long.
We have a comment on our show page. This is from Landless in Brooklyn. She writes in, just heard the opening song about the four Brooklyns, and I realized how much I dislike all four. It would be interesting to know how many people who live in Brooklyn do not like it because of its ethnic social divisions and the groups clinging to the past. Brooklyn needs an economy to stir things up. Comments? Thoughts?
Huh.
I wonder. Certainly I think everyone that we spoke to, certainly every reasonable person that we spoke to and interviewed, which is most of the people we spoke to, agrees that that Brooklyn needs economic development, and also that this space, which is one of the largest empty pieces of land in Brooklyn, that development in that space is an exciting opportunity for the city, for the neighborhoods around it, for those things.
Yeah, speaking about the rail yards themselves.
Yeah. And so I think the question ends up being portrayed often, are you for development or against development, rather than are you for this development or against the way this development is going about? And it's easy for it to be to say that the people who are against the original development want a hole in the ground, when in fact it seems that actually the developers might end up with a large hole in the ground. So it's confusing, I think, to say things that one side is pro-development, one side's pro-economic resurgence, et cetera.
And the opposition called themselves develop, don't destroy. So yeah. they put that right out there.
Right. They put it as one or the other in a way. Kay from Brooklyn writes into Landless, responding to the last person who wrote on our website. Brooklyn has multiple thriving economies in the many more than four Brooklyns that are there. Although I love the song. It's amazing how you've captured that.
The four Brooklyns, I mean, that is many people ask me where I came up with that. And it's from an actual Ken Fisher, who I guess I can name. I'll name him. Who we interviewed, and who that's one of the, he jokes that he didn't get elected to be borough president because that was such a divisive thing to say that those are the four. Basically, what he was saying is those are the four groups that if you can politically mobilize those four Brooklyns,
right,
everyone else is less politically necessary.
Well, I had family in Brooklyn for over 100 years, so you've definitely captured something there. We have another song within the time that we have here. We're going to hear the neighborhood song. Michael is going to find his way to the piano. What should we know about this, Stephen?
Well, this is a song that Michael came out of from the genius of his own brain, and picks up a lot of there's a list in the song that hits on a lot of different places and things in the neighborhood, some of which still exist and some of which are already gone. So that's like part of the meaning of it.
It's the neighborhood song. I'm happy to say we have the full cast from the musical In the Footprint, The Battle Over Atlantic Yards. You're listening to Soundcheck.
The soup place on the block, the barbecues in Brower Park, the chicken box, the bottles strewn around the junkie park, the antique stores along Atlantic Avenue, the trees, the pizza shop that we would go to after school each day,
the ghetto, Home Depot, Park Slope, Co-op, the Target, Sellers Bar, Marcy, Projects, the shootings, the hipster Spike Lee, Jay-Z, the Time Out article, the day the rents doubled,
Atlantic Arts Building, the garden on the parking lot, the Spalding Building, Brooklyn Tech, and the Islamic shops. These are some things that you could say about the neighborhood. These are some things that you could say about the neighborhood. These are some things that you could say about the neighborhood. These are some things that you could say about the neighborhood.
The space that you have. You're not entitled to the space that's all around you.
The neighborhood song from In the Footprint, The Battle Over Atlantic Yards, Donetta, Lavinia Grays, Billy Eugene Jones, Colleen Worthman, Greg McFadden, Simone Moore, Matthew Dallapina, the full cast of this musical. Stephen Cossin is my guest, along with Michael Friedman, the pianist and composer. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having us.
We're so appreciative. Let me remind everybody, it runs through December 11th at the Irondale Center. This is in Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Will
Indeed.
It be extended anywhere, taking it anywhere?
We hope so. We're not sure. Time will tell.
Just quickly, some of the other characters that in this show that you see?
There's Daniel Goldstein, who was one of the leaders of Develop, Don't Destroy Brooklyn, and who remained in his condo
right.
until the very bitter end.
I'm curious, between him and Marty Markowitz, has anybody come to see it?
Daniel's coming next week. Lots of people in the opposition have come. I don't know if Marty's going to come. He might. Letitia James... she's coming next week.
Terrific. Well, I want to thank you again, the creators of the musical In the Footprint, The Battle Over Atlantic Yards.
Thank you.
That's all for today. In the background, you're hearing another serenade to the Borough of Kings. It's called Brooklyn in the 50s by the Downtown Jazz Ensemble, the Microscopic Septet. Tomorrow, the group takes on the music of Thelonious Monk live right here in our studio. Plus, lots of people are talking about the new Spider-Man musical on Broadway. We'll discuss whether theater critics should hold their reviews until opening night. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Brian Wise and Greta Cohn with Don Nishimoto. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. We've also had help today from Gwen Ann Jones and Joe Plord. I'm Elliot Forrest, in for John Schaefer. Join us again at this time tomorrow for another soundcheck here on 93.9 FM WNYC.